This year on Sunday Extra, as you probably know, we've covered a lot of puppet stories. We talked about Ian Bremmer's puppet regime, Melbourne's snuff puppets, and of course the return of the Muppet Show to television this year. But there is more exciting puppet news. A major exhibition of works by the Jim Henson Company is coming to Goma in Brisbane in September, and its opening coincides with the start of this year's Brisbane Festival. The exhibition is called Make Believe Magic, and it profiles the 70-year history of the Jim Henson Company. And I'm very pleased to say that we're joined now by the curator of Make Believe Magic, Amanda Slack-Smith. Amanda, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
And thanks very much for bringing some of the produce of the Jim Henson Company to Australia. How did this exhibition come about, Amanda?
Well, look, I mean, it's the Jim Henson Company. Who wouldn't want to work with the Jim Henson Company? But I had an opportunity when I was in York. I was working on my previous show, which was Fairy Tales, to actually stop by because one of the things that we had in that show was the Labyrinth. And I organised an arrangement to go and see them. And their archive is actually also in their New York creature shop. So I got to see a lot of things, which was absolutely delightful. But their archivists, Karen Falk and Susie Toft, who's also the archivist, is some of the most generous and knowledgeable people around. And we had this amazing conversation in the middle of New York about Jim Henson and the company and their 70-year history. And I was like, I think there might be something here.
Yes, indeed. And now it's coming to Australia and to Goma. So tell us, Amanda, what did you learn about the history of the Jim Henson Company through curating this exhibition?
Oh, my goodness. I'm still learning. The depth of their practice is phenomenal. I mean, they're juggling multiple projects at any one time, and you do that for 70 years, that's a lot of projects.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the highlights, of course, but there's so many really interesting things underneath that. I mean, their history is really fascinating, their contribution to what we understand as puppeteering on screen is phenomenal. You know, they have really set the benchmark for how we understand what we see 70 years later, and everybody's still kind of drawing into that history, which is amazing.
And Make Believe Magic is described as having three chapters as an exhibition. Could you tell us, what have you got in this exhibition and how is it presented?
Well, the three chapters loosely break down to looking at television, stage production and cinema and their digital directions moving forward. That first section very much, as I was talking about, the Jim Henson puppetry method, which really was revolutionary. You know, if you think of those early days of puppeteering, and you know, your Punch and Judy style, they had like a proscenium and then they would film the proscenium and the puppets behind that. And, you know, Henson had this brilliant idea of going, well, actually the screen is a proscenium. Perhaps we could get rid of that. And then that's why you have this crazy dynamic energy that comes in. You know, you got puppets coming in at every angle and, you know, quick cuts with the camera angles and that sort of thing. The shift did so much for puppeteering on screen. So we have a bit of a look at that. We look at some of the early works, which are just delightful, and some early drawings. Chapter two looks very much at stage production. You know, it's really hard to be a puppeteer. You have to be really fit. You have to be able to work in close contact with your colleagues and to be able to perform while you're snaking in and around things. And then we go to the third section and, you know, there's a real fun vibe here because, you know, Henson wasn't really about children's television. He was happy to work with them. But, you know, from the very beginning, those early shows that he did, like Sam and Friends, was about late night television. And then we also look at a lot of like the digital transformations that they've done over time. There was obviously this Labyrinth and Farscape, who, you know, the world building that includes, but also some of the actual things that they've worked on with other companies as well, such as Babe, which is gorgeous. And then we have the final moment, which is the Dark Crystal Room, and absolutely amazing. I adore it. If you want to see Augra, she's there. If you want to see your Skeksis and your Mystics, they're there. There's a Landstrider, which is huge, and your Gelflings, and there's some set pieces in that space. So really immersive. They built everything in that space from the blades of grass up. They custom built everything, and the textures and the creativity that they brought to that is amazing.
That's amazing. There is quite a strong presence of the show Fraggle Rock in the listed highlights. Why is that?
Because we actually have a large section of the set from Fraggle Rock back to the Rock in the gallery. We have brought it over from Canada. We are reassembling it. So you will actually be able to walk an actual Jim Henson Company puppeteering set, which is such a rarity because unless you are a VIP or a journo, you know, they're working. Those sets are there for them to get in, film what they need to film and get out again. So to be able to actually take your time and wander that, we actually have the whole opening sequence of Fraggle Rock. So, you know, they pan through the doc studio, down the portal, into the Great Hall. You know, you end with Booba going down to Fraggle Rock. You can actually walk that floor plan, which is pretty amazing. You can also actually go behind the scenes of the set and see the amazing puppet holes of where they kind of pop up, and also the graffiti. There's some really fun graffiti there. I mean, Mokey for president. Yes, please. That sounds brilliant.
Fantastic. On Sunday Extra, we are speaking with Amanda Slack-Smith, who's the curator of this massive exhibition that's coming to Brisbane. It's called Make Believe Magic, the worlds of the Jim Henson Company. And Amanda, you mentioned the third chapter, I think it was, being about the digital direction moving forward and technological innovations. What are some of the examples of items that you've got in the exhibition that showcase the technological innovation of the Jim Henson Company?
That technological innovation arc has been going for decades. So we actually have a number of things that trace that. I mean, Fraggle Rock is a good example with your Gorgs, but, you know, if you think of your Dark Crystal and your Skeksis and how, you know, they moved and, you know, you'd have six puppeteers trailing behind one of those puppets with gears and levers to make the faces snarl and snap. Amazing technology there. But then they transcended that and now they've actually managed to develop a puppet or a performance-led puppet system whereby they can actually in real time record one puppeteer and dressed in a mocap suit and another puppeteer working machinery and magic on their end and doing the voices, and they lay it down in one go. So it has all that beautiful imperfections that human bodies and gestures bring to it, but it still manages to essentially be largely a final product. So, I mean, the trajectory of that, of, you know, these kind of massive kind of costumes to pure simplicity is amazing. And we track a lot of that. So if you're talking about what we have, well, I mean, as I mentioned, Dark Crystal with our Skeksis and Mystics, and we've got a Landstrider. But things like Earth to Ned, which is one of the most complicated puppets they've ever done, which is a series they did on Disney, you know, a blue alien barreling towards Earth, going to blow it up, gets bombarded with feed about talk show hosts and then decides he wants to be a late night talk show host and turns it all around, you know. And so that puppet takes six puppeteers and an animatronic head and, you know, just those sorts of things, like the complexity of what they do, from starting at little hand puppets, which we know Kermit was a hand puppet, going through to these things which are so technologically innovative, but still it's all about the craft and the performance. Which, beautiful.
Sounds fascinating. And I read also that there's a focus on productions with a Australian connection. So what productions are they and what have you got from them, Amanda?
Well, look, how could we not have something from Babe, which is the one that they won the Academy Award for? So the Duchess makes an appearance. She's very stately, senior cat these days. You know, Me and My Monsters. I don't know if people remember that. You probably filmed them in Sydney, 2010, which is a really fun series of family moves into a new home and there are monsters in the basement and they make friends with the youngest son, you know. That sort of playful thing. There's some things from Ron Muick, actually. I don't know if people... No, I mean, obviously Ron Muick's now a megastar in the art world, but
yes. He
actually began a lot of his early work with the Jim Henson Company. His parents were puppeteers and he went to New York and started working with them. He actually met them while they were here filming some segments for Fraggle Rock, the original series, with Uncle Traveling Matt, and then said, could I come work with you? And they said, please, come on over. And, of course, we have these beautiful drawings. We have a puppet that he's made. You know, one of the pilots succeeded, one of them didn't, which was kind of a fun story about just constantly repitching. I mean, the Muppets, as you know, that was 15 years of pitching before a UK company picked it up. So, yeah, there's some really fun things like that, which we're super excited about. Tall Poppy, I should mention, actually, which is a short film that Brian Henson did for an insurance company here. What they do and the range of what they do is really fun and playful.
That's fascinating, particularly the Ron Mueck connection. I wasn't aware of that. That's definitely something to look out for. And I gather that, unsurprisingly, given your history and work at the gallery, Amanda, that you're also going to be featuring 90 films showcasing productions created by the Jim Henson Company. So what's that going to involve?
Yes, that goes for the whole 7 months. It's free. People come along and see the films. It's actually divided into three parts. One looks at the productions that the Henson Company have made themselves. One looks at their work with other productions because they opened up their creature shop to make things for other productions. And then one looking at puppetry because Jim Henson was really supportive of puppetry in general, but also just really curious about what was happening out in the world. So we also have a bit of a look at that.
Fantastic. And look, I did see some of the iconic Muppets featuring in the halftime entertainment of the World Cup final recently. Amanda, are you expecting any VIPs, very important puppets, to be coming along to either the opening or just through the exhibition of Make Believe Magic?
Look, what is a VIP? Yes. Look, you know, how could we not have Kermit come and visit us with his banjo, Waldorf and Stadler? We have a number of puppets from the Muppets.
Well, it does sound like an amazing exhibition. It's called Make Believe Magic, coming to Goma shortly. Amanda Slack-Smith, thank you so much for speaking with us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Amanda is the curator of Make Believe Magic, the worlds of the Jim Henson Company, which is on at the Queensland Gallery of Modern Art from the 12th of September this year all the way through until 18 April 2027.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.